And welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester. This is
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Sam.
Yes.
How are you? How was your Dungeons and Dragons week?
My Dungeons and Dragons week has been a curious one.
Ooh, curiouser and curiouser.
Curiouser and curiouser, yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty good, actually. Started realising that... I mean, I don't know why I would start realising, because I wrote it, but Tales of Tarthage, obviously, this coming Tuesday, is the season finale of that.
Finale.
Yeah, that's coming to an end. And... it's going to be one bumper episode, so look out for that. It's going to be probably longer than you're used to with Tales of Tarthage.
Mm.
So there's that coming. And then there's, obviously with that, it's like the horrible but wonderful realisation, oh, people are listening to this and enjoying it, let's make more. And then you realise, oh, it's me. I'm the guy that's got to make more and we've got to put it together. And so that's pretty scary but really exciting.
Yeah, and season two is a tricky one. You know?
Season two is the difficult second album.
Yeah.
You have to... you got to be the guy that wins the lottery but doesn't buy the new big house. He just makes the house he has better.
Mm.
So, Ed, we're putting in a pool. Yeah, so right in season two of Tales of Tarthage, and obviously if you're on the socials, we'll let you know when that's coming. I have episode names. I'll probably share those at some point. Yeah, so I kind of been planning that and writing that, and obviously we played on Tuesday. That was fun. I got some stuff going on with that that I know people who play in that game listen to this show, so I'm going to talk about that next week. Ed, how has your week in D&D been?
Oh, my week in D&D. Yeah, it was good, thank you.
Why is that not the jingle?
Hey, it is now.
Ooh, I'll just tee it up, hang on. My week in D&D.
Oh, and it's just that ooh is just looped over a little too much. You know, I'm ooh.
This is fantastic listening.
Yeah, I bet it is. yeah, my week D&D, it's been quite a fun one, actually. So I've moved my Wednesday game to a Friday.
Oh, fun. That's going to be great when the world opens up. Have everyone round on a Friday.
Exactly. Well, because we can see people in gardens... that happened, and I said last week I was excited for that to happen.
How was that?
Oh, dude, it was so good. I don't think I rolled a dice for like 2 to 3 hours.
Were you
of
DMing
playing.
Or were you playing?
I was playing my character. I was playing an alias, the wizard.
Cool.
But, dude, oh, it was so good. The interesting thing is, and I talked about this last week, but you know that physicality that it brings? It was immediately there. And the role-playing was so much more increased because you don't have that. And I feel terrible because anybody who can't go and do this stuff right now is probably going, I miss all of this. The role-playing is so much more off the cuff. You can kind of figure stuff out a lot quicker because you don't have to kind of wait for that, oh, who's speaking thing. Yeah.
How big is that crew, out of interest?
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It is exactly 6 as it stands.
So 5 and a DM.
Yes.
Okay.
Usually it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 and a DM. But
7 and a DM. Oh, mind you, I guess that's critical role size, isn't it? Not
yeah,
that that's
yeah.
the fucking benchmark of great stuff, but that's what I use as my benchmark.
No, and to be fair, that kind of that's the limit, because I used to DM that group, and you definitely kind of have to make sure you know when you look around a table and you're like, that person's kind of drifting out, I'm going to quickly connect him with them and make sure that they've got some stuff going on, which I think is easier. And that's one of the reasons why those two players aren't playing at the moment, because we've been doing it on Roll20 and it's a lot difficult to keep people engaged that way, which is fair enough. What I think will happen is when there's a good point within the story, we can bring those two back again. But right now we're in kind of like a, and they've said this themselves as well, so this isn't like a, or oh, don't tell those people. We'll bring them in and they'll get re-engaged. And they both said that that's what they want to do, basically. which I think is cool. You know, that's what D&D is, and we've kind of been working with this sort of weird quasi D&D, you know, amalgamation, yeah, of doing it through Roll20 and doing it through Discords and chats and things like that. And it scratches an itch, but that itch is still there.
Here's the thing, though.
Mm.
I've been playing this game regularly and properly for 2 years as a player and a DM. I've played like a few sessions around the table, but that was early days. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was there for the kicks and not much else. And I've DM'd 2 sessions in person.
Yeah.
And I have DM'd, I don't even know how many sessions via Roll20. All of Tarthage, except the first 2 sessions.
Yes.
Have been on, and we've... That's been all over the fucking place. That's like a year's worth of campaigns, playing fairly regularly throughout lockdown, like every 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm.
DM'd all through Roll20, and... Like, I can't do my needle drops. You know how much I like a needle drop.
You do like a needle drop. You do.
I love a needle drop. And it's really annoying, actually, because Tarthage, I was compressing all the playlists the other day. Some really good fucking playlists that you never got to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Getting off topic. I'm just, like, interested to see what it's like.
Get back to it. The thing is I actually think Roll20 is easier for DMs, and somebody's probably going to throw their device through a window or whatever, but, you know, that's...
Who owns that many minis?
Exactly, that's the thing. It's
and
about
battle
that.
Maps and fucking, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah, it's about that sort of off the cuff. I need a goat. Here's a goat. You want him green? Brilliant. Here's a green goat. You know, you want to call him Gerald? Wicked. And I'm just going to type the name thing underneath him. His name's Gerald. Gerald the green goat. He's giant. Okay, Gerald the giant green goat.
I tell you what is good.
Yeah.
About DMing through Roll20. Is I found that when I was DMing in person, similar to when I used to do stand-up, you need a couple of drinky drinks. Just take the edge off to round this corner. Whereas Roll20, you're on the other end of a fucking internet connection. I can be as kooky, weird, and loosey-goosey as it comes. That might just be my own personal neuroses, though.
Do you know what? Could very well be. But... I think that's enough about us for this show. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with Fantastical Subclassical. Welcome back, and you will join us after these hot take ads right in your earlobe areas. Go!
Snyder's Return is a tabletop role-playing podcast featuring interviews and a D&D 5e actual play adventure. So, you can learn about different game systems and content creation while also listening to us disrupt everyday life on the Sword Coast. We release episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on your podcasting platform. So come join us as we improvise, adapt, and overcome.
And welcome back from those addy waddy woo woos. So, Sam.
Yep.
Subclassical, fantastical, subclassical.
We've taken on a big one this week.
Yes.
Because when we were divvying this up and we sort of decided, okay, Ed, you'll do a warlock and a fighter and a something else. And Sam, you'll do a ranger and a monk and a something else. I was really keen to do ranger.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, let's be honest now, and I know I'm probably going to get called out, and I've already had a bit of jib on social media, rightfully so. Rangers kind of suck. To quote one of the people I was talking to, I waited to level 10 to be able to disguise myself as a fucking tree.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it. So what I did was I looked at what makes rangers rangers. I went right back to the player's handbook, read it all through. And I've kind of worked out that the reason rangers don't really get their time to shine is because Dungeons & Dragons is a group role-playing game. And rangers, intrinsically by their build, are meant to work alone. It's there in the fucking handbook. They are loners. They wander the wilderness happy in their own company, doing their thing. And that's fine. And you kind of, as a group who finds a ranger, you're the companion to the Doctor. Mm. You're the people they have around while they do their shit, and then they're going to ping off again. And it's like, hey, it's great we met, and we got to do that thing.
The interesting thing with what you've said there is the Druid is kind of like the compression of a Ranger into this nature person. But nobody kind of has that issue yes. with a Druid because they are so far removed. A Ranger kind of borders, and you know, again, this is what we see in the handbook, is that they border and they guard things from the wilderness. So there's almost like a,
yeah.
you're not full nature. And I think that's it. I think that kind of describes them to a bit of a T. You're not fully anything. And we talked about this on the Ranger show anyway, and unfortunately, Beastmaster, the subclass in Beastmaster, definitely gave them a bit of a kicking. So from the off, you only had one subclass that you could really go down and feel like a badass. Yes, it's cool, but yeah. there we go. But, Sam, am I right in understanding that all of this pre-ramble is suggesting that you have solved?
I think I fixed it. Look, if you're listening and you work at Wizards of the Coast, I've done your job for you. I don't want to oversell it. I know, that's big talk, isn't it? I'm kidding, of course. Send money. No, I've just kind of built a Ranger that works for the team and with the team. So I humbly present to you the Cohort Ranger. This is... obviously, I've sort of said that most Rangers are used to living alone. They're traversing the wilderness or whatever on a solitary mission. But what if there was a Ranger that kind of knew that working together as an effective unit is actually better for A, earning more treasure, so everyone gets a bigger cut, and B, you live a longer, comfortable life, because if you break your leg or you twist your ankle, you don't die of exposure in a fucking hill.
Yeah, because you got a mate to give you a little bit of a lift over there.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. So becoming a Cohort Ranger means working for the good of the team, but not at the expense of your own, hey, I can do cool shit, because that's why we play the game. Really, it's to do amazing shit that you can't do. So at level 3, you get 2 abilities.
Yep.
Straight off the bat, you get Group Awareness and you get the Cohort Offensive. Now, Group Awareness, you kind of begin to act as a guide for your group. You can read, you know, it's the Miyamoto Musashi, and you know the way broadly, you can see it in all things. So you increase the initiative of your allies. So choose targets that you can see up to your proficiency modifier, and then they may choose to add your initiative modifier in place of their
own. That's nice.
So everyone's like, it's really nice. And it's kind of like, oh, why is that guy running out of there with all that stuff under his arms, but no, oh, he's robbing that shop. But you're doing this kind of as you're sort of walking down the street, or it's like, hey, look out for those kind of twigs, they're broken, it means something bigger than 6 foot will need to know it. As you hang out, you're getting more. The Cohort Offensive is basically the thing for you. So when you make an attack and you're within 5 feet of an ally, you can add an extra d4 to the attack roll and then an extra d6 to the damage.
I really like this. Because you know, we share these documents between each other as we're going through this process. As a setup, again, and this sort of links back to, I think what we've kind of done here, because this is kind of a little similar, there's a similar element to the Bastion thing, is you sometimes get penalized for being together, but this stuff, could you imagine a Cohort Ranger and a Bastion standing together? Like that massive shield man. Block, and then this element where they're either...
He's wheeling around and it's kind of like fucking when Rocket and Groot team up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's either that scene in the prison, right? Or it's the Bucky.
Right, yeah.
Where Bucky's holding Rocket by the collar and they're both spinning around shooting.
I
really like this just as a whole vibe, and also just to add more dice to the mix, because when you break it down, what's the thing that makes us feel good about this game sometimes is literally just rolling this thing and going, oh, a big number, you know.
Yeah.
That's,
but wait, there's more big numbers. Exactly. More big numbers.
So anything that allows you to roll like a fuck ton of dice is great fun. I really like it as an idea.
And at level 3, you're probably going to get a couple of attack boosts. You might get a +2 or 3, depending on your stat roll. To then be able to add another d4.
Yes.
it gives you that chance, that little bit of instant gratification, like, hey, I'm the ranger, but fuck, I'm pretty good on the draw.
It's good early game.
So we jump onto level 5. Level 5 is a bit of a weird one. It's again something that's going to benefit you and the group. You basically get the Spare the Dying cantrip, with the auspice being you never leave an ally behind.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, hey, we're moving as a unit. Oh, I'm down. No, you're not. Boom, back up.
Yeah, I like that.
You learn it as a cantrip.
That's good. And it's nice to see a cantrip happening with a class that doesn't get any.
And here's another thing. I spoke to a lot of people about rangers and said, hey, what do you wish you could have, just as a kind of, you know, broad church? And they were like, I really like sort of like druid spells, cleric-y spells. If they were a bit more like that, they got their own, maybe not their own thing, but like a couple of cool things from other people, which they don't really get right now, unless we start talking about like weird cribbed abilities from the fighter, which don't really work because you don't get the AC boost. Up at level 7, we get the two more abilities again. We get the group intuition and the cohort barrage. So as part of the group intuition, this is again linking into the group awareness. You kind of, as a ranger, you see the big picture. You can kind of start to command, not command, but like move your party almost like a unit of an army. So regardless of how quick the enemy is, you're all going to be quicker. So basically when combat starts, after initiative is rolled, you can choose targets. You can see to up to your proficiency modifier. And then they may move half their speed.
Very good. So this is going, something's attacking us, get into position. Yeah, nice.
Essentially. And then the cohort barrage? Yeah.
Barrage.
When you're making, it's an improvement on the cohort offensive. When you're making a ranged attack within 5 feet of an ally, you add the d4 to the attack, but now it's 2d6 to the damage.
Nice. Yeah, like that.
So it's just a little buff on yourself again there. But again, it's something for everyone and something for
you. Do you know what I love about the cohort offensive? Is it feels, it sounds like as an ability, it's just a group of people just going, hey, fuck you!
And then at level 7, you could be like, yeah, fuck you and your mother. Moving up to level 10, you get cohort camouflage. Obviously, this is one for like, I think it was someone on the Twitter who said, yeah, our ranger waited for level 10 and was like, oh great, I can do that horse shit thing from Hunger Games. Yeah. I can paint myself to look like a rock. So I've kind of given that a boost. At level 10, you get the hide in plain sight feature as being a ranger. But with this, you can extend it to creatures you can see up to your wisdom modifier. Mm-hmm. Because there's always one or two characters, depending on the size of the group, where the DM says, something's coming. And the rogue, up the tree. I've had this happen. The tiefling, ping, disappears. The firbolg, probably the same. Your ranger will go, fuck, I'm going to disappear. And there's the one person that's like, fucking roll the stealth check.
It's always the bard.
Or the barbarian or something like that. So you can be like, fucking grab these leaves.
Yeah.
Hold that. You're going to be a weird stuffed beast or whatever.
Hold these two branches and hold out your hands and say, I am a tree.
Yeah, exactly. But it's better than nothing. There's always that one person that's like, oh, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Or I'm bait or whatever. So, finally, at level 16, you get group consciousness. So, you're so in tune now. You are a traveling army. You are down to a T. No one leader. Everyone's got the fucking bits down. You know, you've all got your combos. So after you use your group intuition skill from level 7, which is where you may move half your speed, each creature affected by it can also make one attack or bonus action. So nice. It's like stop, drop, and fucking roll.
Yeah.
Because you could potentially be hitting stuff that comes your way, even if it surprises you with a fair bit of heat.
Yeah, I like that. That's really nice. That works quite nicely as well. Because what you've done there by adding the or bonus action is you're including some of those casters who potentially, because you're just
spirit weapon.
Yeah, exactly. You're yeah, the healing word, things like that. Stuff that is a really useful little boost. But it includes them rather than, because sometimes a lot of these things get focused towards melee things. So like, you can take an attack action, or you can make an attack. It means that if you go as a wizard, you go up next to a person and you just hit them with a stick, and you're like, eh, and yeah, great.
But it's like, it'd be nice to, you could have your casters like drop a blessing or a bane or a guidance or something like that just straight off the bat. That's the cohort ranger.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. I want to see this and a Bastion fighting together so much.
Well, I mean, we are in a campaign today,
I know.
We could be those guys. Hey, DM, yeah, we're going to rock up with a ton of our own shit. Don't worry about it. We got this.
Is the game broken now? Could be, but whatever. I'm having a great time.
Hey, look, we're having fun. We, two of us out of the seven of you, are having a whale of a time.
Brilliant. Okay, excellent. Well, look, let's... That's a great little ranger. I like it a lot.
Do you want to jump into the box?
Oh, piss. I forgot I've got to do this. Yeah, all right. Let's go. Give us a song.
Let it be known. The day that Ed wasn't prepared and Sam was prepared to tell Ed that he wasn't prepared. All right, I'll just tee it up. There's a wonderful box. It's out in a field. What's that inside? What surprise will it yield? It's Ed's character box. That was good, wasn't it?
That was good. That was very good.
Yield and field, my friend.
All right, so, ranger. Here we go. So, my ranger is a gnome ranger.
Ooh, okay, I'm intrigued.
And he comes from a long line of rangers himself. And they're all like...
A range
of rangers. A selection. And they're all like, listen, on your 8th birthday, we're going to give you an animal and you're going to become friends with it. And he's like, all right, wicked. And they give him, like, I don't know, a hedgehog. And he's like, right, I'm going to call you Spike. Let's go. I'm going to call my ranger Raymond. Mm-hmm. Raymond goes out and he's like, come on, Spike, let's go hang out. And Spike's like, all right, no worries. Raymond crosses a road. Spike doesn't look both ways.
I fucking knew there was going to be. I knew it. This is one for the UK listeners. There is a very popular road safety awareness advertising campaign when we were children that had fucking hedgehogs crossing the road because you always see him dead.
Yep. So Spike doesn't look both ways. Yeah. A car just trundling along. Spike's gone. Raymond is torn to pieces and he's like, no, Spike. And he goes back home and they're like, out of for 500 years we've never lost an animal companion.
If I was Raymond, I'd be like, that's obviously bollock. Sorry, continue. Yeah,
admittedly. Now this is obviously a bit of a tongue-in-cheek backstory. So Raymond's like, oh, man, I wish I looked after my friend more. I wish I'd put my knowledge into Raymond. If Raymond could have made himself look like a tree or a bush, because for whatever reason, then he wouldn't have been hit by that car.
Got it. Thanks. No, I'm there.
So he goes out and he makes some friends with the local adventurers and he's like, hey, adventurers, what's up? And then he realizes, you guys can be my Spike. And he becomes a...
You're my hedgehog.
Exactly. And he becomes a cohort ranger that way. Hanging up the mantle of Beastmaster. Because Beastmaster is bullshit.
What I like is, not only have we taunted Wizards of the Coast in this podcast, we've also shit quite heavily on one of their products.
I think a lot of people know. I mean, you know, they rehashed it. They actually said, yeah, we made a mistake. Here's the Unearthed Arcana. That fixes it. So I'm fine doing that. And he becomes a cohort ranger and he lives happily ever after.
With all his mates.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it to bits.
Yeah, that's it. And with that, let's bring the show to a close. Mm-hmm. As always, ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed the show, please do share it around. We have been Starter Set. You have been our listeners. Roll well and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bidely, bidely, boo, boo, boo.
you ever wanted to learn more about geography without sitting through a snoozy old lecture? Geography Arcade is a weekly podcast all about your favorite video games and their geographic lessons, inspirations, and even some minor analysis. Some may say analysis. Boo! Well, we're gonna learn and have fun while we talk about Pokemon, Elder Scrolls, and much more. Come join the adventure at Geography Arcade on your favorite podcatcher and YouTube.
Are you interested in starting a podcast, but you don't know how to get started? Are you concerned that your podcast just isn't reaching the audience that you're trying to reach? Well, this is Robots from the Robots Radio Network, and I have a podcast for you. It is the Podcast Creator's Guide. You can check it out here at robotsradio.net on any podcatcher and listen every week for quick tips and updates for how to get you started and growing your podcast even faster. Check it out today. The Podcaster's Creator's Guide.